Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 bacon bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the bacon cheese slider, 1921 bacon cheese slider, or chicken bacon ranch slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 bacon bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
This feeling that I just can't turn it loose.
Think this goes.
That somebody's been getting next to you. I don't wanna walk around knowing I was your fool.
Yeah.
Cause being the man that I am,
sing.
I just can't lose my cool.
You're an ass. Oh my God!
My friends
oh God.
Keep
you're not done.
Goddamn, my headphones came.
That's what you get.
That's
what you get
for being ridiculous.
Just
praise the
doing
Lord, niggas.
Too much. Shout out to Cisco. We love Cisco.
We love Cisco so much for all of his screaming.
Oh my gosh, Cisco is a vocalist.
He is.
Say what you want to say about Cisco. However.
He's a vocalist.
He be singing.
He does.
He sings hard. Like, I feel like all his toes be scrunched up in his shoes when he sings.
They do, actually.
He just be out here just.
That's because he's small. Yeah! He's small, but he's mighty. Yeah! Yeah! I don't know what that was. Sounded like constipation. Praise the Lord, niggas. Welcome back to an episode
indeed.
Of Getting Grown with Jade and Kia. I'm Jade.
I'm Kia. And here we talk about all things adulting. The good, the bad, the ugly, the test, the trials, the twists, the turns, the temptations, and the taxation of being an adult.
That's
in
it.
The year of our Lord 2018.
How are you, sis?
I'm all right. I'm doing okay. Can't complain. Yeah. Busy, but working. And checks are clearing. Hallelujah.
The checks are clearing.
Thank you, Jesus.
That is always a word.
Wow. How are you?
I'm tired,
yes.
But I'm here, and
yes.
I'm also working, and I'm moving, and I'm grooving, and I'm getting ready to go pack, and...
Yeah, girl.
You know what I'm saying?
Booked.
Look at my family for a little bit.
Bookington.
We're booked, because we're booked and we're busy. How was your weekend?
My weekend was just so exciting.
Wasn't it?
It was filled with all kinds of emotion.
It was. And I think we're going to get to that in just a little bit.
Yes, indeed.
In our shout-out.
Absolutely.
But let's take out some trash first.
Let's do it right now.
Okay, so I can't hear anymore after I yanked my headphones out. Do I need them? Okay, I'm good.
Okay.
All right. Taking out some basura
cha-cha-cha.
Today. First, we're going to discuss the anti-basura.
Yes, indeed.
Beyoncé.
My edges are still smoking.
Did you watch?
Oh, my word.
Oh, you stayed up.
I didn't stay up.
Okay.
I watched some, there were some videos.
Yes.
They're not really clips, but I was, somebody actually, like, you know how you can, like, record your screen?
Oh, yeah.
Somebody did that for the whole thing.
Oh, nice.
And posted them on Facebook, part one and part two.
Oh, hallelujah.
And I watched it on the train, on the way here.
She, Beyonce, it was not Coachella.
It was Baychella.
Baychella.
But the thing is, it was also Blackchella.
It was very black chill.
Because Beyonce was so black. She sung Lift Every Voice and Sing.
She made sure that she brought all of her Negro out, and I appreciated every bit of it.
I was doing my makeup when I was watching it first, and I literally, like, put my makeup brush down, and I was in the bathroom, like, sing with both hands in the air. Sing, Beyonce!
Oh, gosh, she made me so happy. She makes me happy. And
I'm
then when
so
her
glad.
And Solange danced together.
It was like a moment.
I was like,
I was triggered
sisters.
A little bit because of siblings.
I get
Howsoever, I thought it was just, there was nothing wrong. There was nothing wrong with the performance as far as I'm concerned. Vocally, I mean, people say what you want. Be mad, hate Beyonce, all you want. But Beyonce puts on a show.
She puts on a show.
She sings like it's actually her actually singing.
Yes.
There's so much musicality and creativity and innovation in the production of the music. And it's just an experience. There was over 200 dancers.
Over 200 dancers.
A full band.
Beyonce always on the beat.
Like, bruh.
She hits every step, every note. Like, so if you're just a hating ass nigga if you can't appreciate the work that she puts in. And then on top of that, she goes vegan. That's dedication. Because I'm not doing it.
Point me in the general direction of the chicken.
Not doing it.
I mean,
we actually had Popeyes in the green room while we were getting ready for the live show.
Chicken is life. It was life unto me.
It was there. I didn't get to eat any, but it was there nevertheless.
I didn't have any because I was concerned that if I ate too much, I would vomit. Howsoever,
that is,
chicken was there for our friends to enjoy.
It was,
and we're very grateful.
Chicken must always be in the place. I'm Absolutely. Sure Beyonce had Popeyes for the backup dancers, though.
Oh, of course.
Yeah,
and I feel like you know now that she's back in performance mode, she is vegan Beyonce. But
yeah,
but Beyonce,
remember that even runners have to eat carbs.
So, I think she eats carbs.
She eats carbs. She just don't eat the meat products while she's the animal products.
But thank you for rearranging our wigs, Beyonce, for yet another time.
Snatching everybody's edges bald, everybody's heads, everybody's out here looking like Wakanda Forever, Okoye out this bitch, because you took everybody's follicles.
Man.
And I
hope that it will be available for us to continue to watch.
I hope so. Put it on HBO. HBO!
Like, can we get, I'd be willing to pay to, have it, that performance. I would download that performance.
I absolutely would.
Over and over again.
I absolutely would. I think the only albums I purchased probably in the last 8 years are Beyonce albums. So
I mean, honestly.
Next on the list.
All right.
Have you heard about WakandaCon?
No.
There is a thing coming called WakandaCon.
And what is that?
It is a festival. Or whatever you want to call it.
Oh boy.
Of basically black techs. So you have Comic-Con and you have all the cons. You know what I'm saying? What do you call those things?
Comic-Con. Like cons? Conferences or conventions?
Conventions. Thank you so much. Couldn't get my life together.
Conventions.
So they're going to have a WakandaCon because there are so many people in black technology
and
STEM and black superheroes. And you know what I'm saying? There's a lane.
This is right up my street.
Yeah. So I'm super hyped for it. You know, you can come. We can dress as the Dora Milaje and walk up in this bitch.
You know, I am the sitting president of the DMV chapter of the Dora Milaje.
Vice president.
Indeed. So wait a second. When is this happening?
So, according to Complex, festivities will be kicking off in Chicago August 3rd and set to end on August 5th. And one of the convention's co-founders, Ali Bartwal, says it will honor Afrofuturism, tech, and entertainment and will include other black superheroes in film, gaming, television, and comic books.
The answer is yes.
Absolutely. So, I'm very, while I am not, those are not my lanes, I'm super excited that it is a lane being created for my people who are into all of that, because I have plenty of friends who are, and I think that this is long overdue, and I'm so happy that somebody was able to bring that into fruition.
Sure, you're right.
And then we're going to close out with actual trash.
Oh, boy.
Boycott Starbucks.
So let's talk about this.
Yeah.
So I believe it according to CNBC.com, on Thursday, April 12th, two African-American men entered the Starbucks in Philadelphia on Spruce Street.
Mm-hmm.
From what I understand, they went into the Starbucks and asked to use the restroom.
Mm-hmm.
And the Starbucks staff told them that you had to pay to use the restroom or to buy something.
Mm-hmm.
They sat down because, we later learned that they were waiting to meet a friend there.
Right.
They sat down. I don't know if it's been confirmed whether or not Starbucks staff asked them to leave,
mm-hmm.
But they sat down and the Starbucks staff called the cops and said that they were trespassing.
That is, tell the people why it is most unfortunate. Richard Ross.
Oh, yes. So the police commissioner. Okay, so the men were arrested. There is someone who was at the Starbucks recorded the whole thing. Mm-hmm. So you see the cops there talking to the men, asking them to leave. And, you know, the men are just asking why. They're from what you can tell from what the perspective of the video, it doesn't appear that anyone is shouting or, you know, acting, you know, erratically. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, from what I can see, the men sat with their hands on the table, visible the whole time.
Yep.
And the police were, you know, speaking to them and they were questioning and asking why. Mm-hmm. Other people who were sitting in the Starbucks also started to ask the cops, like, why are you bothering them? They're not doing anything.
Yep.
And then the person who they were going to meet, who was a white man, mm-hmm. came in and, you know, was just like, well, can you tell me why you are, you know, bothering them? There's other people that are in here. And, you know, you can see that there's an exchange going on between them. So they were arrested, the two men, they were not charged because there was not enough evidence to charge them for anything. Mm-hmm. But the police commissioner in Philadelphia, his name is Richard Ross, said he knew the incident had prompted a lot of concern, but he said that his officers did absolutely nothing wrong. He made a video statement, and Ross said the employees at the store called 911 to report a disturbance and trespassing. And when the officers arrived, Ross said staff told him that the two men had wanted to use the restroom but were informed it was only for paying customers. And the pair repeatedly refused to leave when asked politely by the employees and the officers. So he's saying that Starbucks had every right to call the police. And he said that as a black man, he is familiar with how implicit bias works. So he understands, you know, all of that. But he maintains that his officers were acting in compliance with
policy. Man, fuck that nigga, because that's trash. Like, you are a black man, and I don't care if you're part of the police force, you know these men were not outright, they were not irate, they were not acting out. Listen, as a person who has worked in establishments where I understand that you want those who patron the establishment to purchase products, like, you're not here to just give out air conditioning and water to people. So I understand that. If you don't want to let them use the bathroom because they're not purchasing anything, they don't have to use the bathroom. But I know 935 white people right now in this very second, probably on the very block that I'm on, who are sitting in somebody's coffee shop and not purchasing a single thing
right now. And not doing anything,
right now.
Just sitting.
And you talk about, you know how implicit bias works? Do you know how explicit bias works?
This is what I'm saying.
Because
this is nothing implicit.
This is ridiculous.
He said that as an African-American man, he was acutely aware of implicit bias. And I was like, well, I need him to get acutely aware of explicit bias.
I'm acutely aware that you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Because you're speaking things, you're not speaking sense right now. And it really frustrates me, especially in the age that we're living in and all that we've witnessed, when people involve law enforcement knowing how that can go left real quick.
Right.
With young black people.
So the young lady who posted the video initially on Twitter, that is now viral, her name is Melissa DiPino. She said the staff at the Starbucks called the police because the two men had not ordered anything while they were waiting for a friend. She said, white customers were wondering why it's never happened to us when we do the very same thing. That's a quote.
Mm.
So clearly,
it's a problem.
It's a problem. So Starbucks is canceled. And
yeah.
I mean, as of right now, as far as I'm concerned, based on the information that I have, I'm good.
Yeah, they've been canceled for me for a little bit. But now I really can't. I can't patronize you at all. And your coffee ain't that good. It's metallic. And that's enough trash for today because I'm irritated.
Agreed.
Let's move on to shout out to my sis.
Let's do it.
My sis is popping right now. Like.
Our shout out this week is for all of our brothers and sisters
right.
who showed up for the Getting Grown First Anniversary live show.
Man, listen. Our show was on Friday, April 13th, as you may or may not have heard.
Mm-hmm.
And we were at the Arc Theater in Southeast D.C., and it was sold out.
It was
and
amazing.
And y'all came and supported us, and we are ever, ever, ever so grateful.
Super grateful.
We can't tell you how much it means that you guys would come and kick it with us for a little while.
And spend your monies.
Yeah, man. And I've been saying, I mean, it was a Having never done anything like that before, it was really nerve-wracking.
Mm-hmm.
And But once we got on the stage, I felt comfortable. I can say that, you know, the lights helped because I couldn't see anybody. But it was also kind of like a gift and a curse because I couldn't see whether or not people were laughing, yawning, engaged, rolling their eyes over it. But from what the feedback that we received so far has been largely positive.
It has.
So and I'm grateful.
You guys are dope for that. And I guess now we can talk about other cities.
We can because, listen, we made y'all a deal.
We did.
We said if we sell out our first, we'll go on the road. So hopefully we can...
maybe we'll put out a poll.
Perhaps.
Let's put out a poll.
Where should we go?
Let's put out a poll of where we should go next. We're going to give y'all... How many things can you put on a poll? Two or three?
Like a poll on Twitter?
Yeah.
Four.
You put four?
Well, I don't think there's a limit, honestly. No?
Okay, well, then we're going to put out some cities, and we're going to see what kind of responses we get.
We're already cooking up something in the spring.
Ooh,
hopefully,
so
when Spring decides to get off her butt and show up.
Yes.
But, yeah, so...
Oh, look at that. So
shout out to y'all. Shout out to all of our friends who showed up. We had a special guest.
We had
a surprise for the girls. Fury Nation came and joined us to take out the trash.
And it was trash to take out.
It was so much trash to take out. Crystal Jean kicked it with us around the kitchen table, and Dustin and Asante hosted the Q&A, and they opened up for us. So it was a good time. The Super Friends were in the building.
Absolutely. And shout out to Alex for
everything. Absolutely.
I don't even have the damn thing on me. I'm going to do it next week.
What?
I want to shout out our wonderful photographers. My people.
Yes.
I want to make sure I do it properly. So I'm going to make sure I get all that information. Because Kia and I are in the studio together this week.
Won't he do it?
So I'm going to get that information, and that's going to be my shout out next week.
Yeah, but shout out to y'all, man. We love you. We love you so much. Oh, and if I can quickly while I'm thinking about it. I had a customized jean jacket made. I reached out to my good friend Sierra, the artist Sierra Lynn. I will include her contact information in the description box. But Sierra is a... awesome artist and entrepreneur, and she does hand-painted custom jackets and anything. Like, she will paint anything. I've seen her paint Tim's and Uggs and Doc Martens, and she made me an awesome jacket.
She did.
That was a great tribute to my brother, and just kind of, like, featured a lot of the things that I say all the time, like, God is not going to play you, and... it was just awesome.
It had getting grown. It had getting grown on fast.
It. It had Team Typing Fast
Monster.
On it. I will also post a picture. Y'all support Sierra.
Yes.
She's doing awesome work. She, you know, was laid, used to be a teacher, like a school teacher. She was laid off and went into business for herself and has you know, had lots and lots and lots of success over the last few years. Been featured on, you know, television a couple of times and has made pieces for lots of celebrities. Like, she's done some stuff for SWV and Tasha Cobbs and, you know, just a whole, like, just, you know, she's out here. So
Sierra,
shout out.
I'll be calling you.
Yes, indeed. Shout out to you, Sierra. Thank you for my jacket. I love it, love it, love it. And y'all go check her out.
Yes. And Allison for the makeup.
Oh, yes. Allison Facts Beauty busted and disgusted these faces.
She sure did.
She painted us down.
She beat us up.
I appreciate you, sis.
So we appreciate all of you guys. We appreciate everybody who took a part and made this a success. And we can't wait to see what everything grows into.
Yeah, man. We out here.
All right, boys and girls, men and women, cats and dogs, hamburgers and hot dogs, peas and rice. We're back at the kitchen table, and we're excited because we have a guest.
We do.
Oh, my gosh.
Kia is geeking. Beyonce is in the studio.
Oh, whoa.
The Beyonce of higher education.
Absolutely. And I'm just trying to be a young Cardi B. That's it.
Yeah.
So, I'm very excited because the one and only Dr. Lori Patton Davis is joining us today around the kitchen table.
Thank you for having me.
Oh my gosh, we're going to have so much fun. Dr. Davis is a professor of higher education at Indiana University. Mm-hmm. And she is the current president of the Association for the Study of Higher Education. Mm-hmm. And we are geeked to have her
hype
at the kitchen table today.
Boots.
We're going to have some conversation just about Lori and who she is and her work, the awesome work that she's doing, centering on the perspectives of African Americans in post-secondary context, and just, you know, all kinds of good stuff.
Yeah.
So we'll start. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Oh my gosh, we're so happy to have you. I'm going to allow you to introduce yourself because I probably couldn't do it any justice anyway. So just tell us about who you are, of course, Dr. Patton Davis, as Dr. Patton Davis. But who is Lori?
Oh, wow. Let's see. Lori is a Black woman, born and raised in East St. Louis, Illinois. And I am a mom of two bomb-ass kids.
That's it.
Parker and Preston.
Yes.
Wife of my husband, Tobias.
Come on, biblical
I man. Am a scholar of higher education research. I study the experiences of Black women and girls throughout the educational pipeline. I think a lot of my professional reputation has come from studying issues of race and racism in higher ed. So scholar, researcher, public speaker, and now president of ASH, which since last year is now Ashe.
Yes.
Because it's so extra Black days.
Ashe.
Change has come.
That's right.
Change has come.
Because we don't even be known as Ash.
Right.
We don't want to be Ash. But you know this is not Ashe. This is Ashe.
Yes. Y'all better sit down.
Right.
And have, you know, get comfortable in that. But that's awesome. You're the president of ASH. Let's talk a little bit about that right away.
Okay.
I just was curious in terms of, like, what does that mean? Tell us about what the job is and how you got it. Was it something that you looked to do? Was it something that you wanted? Or is it something that just happened?
It kind of just came. So, ASH has been a really interesting intellectual space for me. Most folks who are, you know, going through higher ed doctoral programs are encouraged by their mentors to go to ASH or whatever for professional development. But I was working full time doing my PhD, so I wasn't into ASH.
Right.
I didn't go until I got a faculty job. And I went. I enjoyed it. And while I was at ASH, just my network started building, and I found a space that really supported my research and work that I was doing. And so I would say maybe around 2010, I got the ASH Early Career Award, which is, you know, a big deal or whatever. And I was the first Black woman to get that award. And now with this presidency, I'm the first Black woman president of ASH. And so...
Beyonce's in the building.
I told y'all.
I only have a year. But I'm trying to turn ASH out.
Absolutely.
And so basically, the president, you know, we do governance-related things, but the chunk of my work is around the conference. And this year, the conference theme is Envisioning the Woke Academy.
Woke.
And I selected that theme, not with trepidation, but with a little hesitation, because I'm like, okay, we got all these older people. Mm-hmm. They ain't gonna know what woke is, but... they're retiring, they're moving on. And one of my biggest critiques of higher ed and in my research is around the fact that higher education ain't woke. You know, when we think about the inequities in society, higher education has a major role in a lot of what we see. And so my goal was to really come up with a theme that would encourage our members to think about the critical nature of our research. Are we asking the right questions? Are we centering people? Are we using people and talking about their lives and then dismissing them? You know, like just really be critically conscious about the research that we promote.
Right.
And so, you know, how do we get in touch with history? Like a lot of institutions are sort of trying to reckon with their past ties to slavery.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really, you know, big step. But there's a whole bunch of history that needs to be unpacked. And so that's really what the theme is. And I'm trying to create a space that's more community engaged. I think higher ed is really an insular space. And so how do we do work that feeds the community, that serves the community, that centers voices that are typically invisible when we think about higher ed research?
That's amazing. What was your major in undergrad?
Oh, I had a major in speech communication with a minor in sociology.
Okay, sociology as well. Hello,
I love sociology.
But how did you get into higher education?
Well, with our field, usually, you know, if you're really involved as an undergraduate, mm-hmm. I'm in a sorority, mm-hmm. homecoming queen, doing all this stuff, mm-hmm. and just really involved on student government. And I didn't know that higher ed was a field right. that you actually could work yeah. in, right? Mm-hmm. And so I ended up doing my master's degree in student affairs and then my PhD in higher ed. And I didn't plan to be a faculty member, yeah. but I had a Black woman who said, you need to be a faculty yeah. member. We need to see more of you in the classroom.
Ooh, that sounds familiar.
Yes, Mary Howard Hamilton, shout out.
Yes.
So she was the one who was always there encouraging me. I remember I met her when I was doing my master's program, and I'm in this room full of white people. Mm-hmm. And they do this thing where, stressful. You know, right, all the students who are visiting, they get to stand up and talk about where they're from. Mm-hmm. Most people don't know where East St. Louis is. Mm-hmm. So I stand up and I'm like, God, I don't want to do this. Nobody's going to cheer for me. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody else from Chicago and all these places. And Mary was a lone person, gave me a standing ovation because she's from Alton, Illinois, which is right next right. door. And so. Good. She was one of the first people within the higher ed space to sort of validate me and, you know, validate me being there and in that space. I, you know, got the degrees and kind of got nurtured into this faculty pathway. And it's been good so far.
And I'm sure as a Black woman that has led you to these other passions.
Yes. Yes.
Experiences and so forth.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I'm grinning because I feel like Jay was saying it's familiar because, you know, we've been friends for a while and she's watched me kind of figure out the pathway mm-hmm. as well. And it's been awesome to have models like you, my chair, Sharon Freeze-Britt and mm-hmm. Kimberly Griffin and, you know, all of the countless other women mm-hmm. In our field who are doing this amazing work, who we get to come and engage with at these kind of conferences, these spaces. But when we get to our campuses, we find ourselves by ourselves a whole lot. Even in that, though, I think that we are kind of growing in number as a population of Black women, specifically in this field and in many fields. Mm-hmm. I want to talk more about you as the first Black woman to ASH and mm-hmm. it being 2018. So I'm just wondering, like, you know, do you feel like, why is it just now? Like, mm-hmm. having it, it's taken us a while to get to have a Black woman in this seat. Mm-hmm. And what do you think that's about?
Crickets.
Exactly. I'm sure there are lots of reasons. But
2018
just,
don't mean shit. If right. we're gonna be real, that don't mean nothing.
Clearly not.
I will give Ash credit in that I'm not the first woman of color. So there right. have been maybe two or three Latina mm-hmm. presidents. And two Black man presidents. Yes. But I mean, in every category we think about, Black women are often, you know, thought about last, mm-hmm. the afterthought. Mm-hmm. And so it's not surprising to me that it's taken to 2018. And honestly, I don't know who the next.
Yeah.
I hope I'm not the last.
Yeah.
My feeling is that whether it's higher ed or any field, you know, Black women, you know, I look at Black women as possibility models. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I'm doing in this role. I don't, aside from talking about racism and heterosis patriarchy, mm-hmm. I don't know why else, you know, Black right. women, you know, would right. be last. We should be first. We are first.
Absolutely.
People just don't know.
They know. That's why they keep trying to copy us. They just don't want to admit it.
I mean, love who we are, but don't love us,
exactly.
right?
Exactly.
So, you know, it's taken a long time, and I'm just going to try to do the best I can in these next several months to, what is it? What's the word I'm looking for? Slay.
Slay.
Yes, slay.
All day.
Beyonce's language.
That's
slay.
Right.
Yeah. You are her. She's you.
One and the same. So since we're talking about Black women, mm-hmm. you know, we've discussed the different tropes that are oftentimes, you know, placed mm-hmm. on us. Like mm-hmm. strong Black women trope, the angry Black women trope.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked
Jezebel.
A lot of, yeah, mm-hmm. we've talked Jezebel. A lot about that. And how, you know, we have to kind of carry these things throughout our daily lives. And I'm just wondering, like, you know, I'm going to take a personal privilege to ask for my own advice. It's like, even within the space of our field, I felt pressure from, you know, white people, but also from other Black women mm-hmm. and other people of color, you know, that feel that like to tell me how I have to exist in mm-hmm. this space, you know,
in order to have some level of success. Mm-hmm. You know, Kat and I work in the practice and policy space versus, you know, being traditional mm-hmm. faculty, and that's a thing, you know. And I like to be myself. I'm from New York. I wear long nails. I'm bracelets, and I got blonde hair now, and yes. I do what I want to do. But mm-hmm. it has gotten back to me that some people have felt away mm-hmm. or felt like, or even me having this podcast, I wonder about if that compromises the integrity of my scholarship or how people perceive me. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if you could speak to some of those things, because a lot of us are in these spaces and feeling and dealing with this pressure mm-hmm. And trying to figure out how do we maintain ourselves mm-hmm. and, you know, take care of ourselves, but still, you know, reach the goals that we've set professionally.
Right. So I've been lucky enough. So I had a Black woman mentor mm-hmm. in the higher ed space, and then I've modeled a lot of that with Black women, you know, that I mentor. And my advice has always, so I love to tell people wear a dress, but that's because I like dresses. not because it needs to be to impress someone. Right. Like when we were coming in today, I was looking at y'all's shoes, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, those are so cute. And so for me, I mean, and maybe it's, I didn't always feel this way, but I feel this way now. Be who you are. Like wear the nails, the bomb make. I like that. I like that highlight. the hair. Be comfortable in who you are, because you know you only have to answer to you. Mm. There, and anybody's discomfort really is about themselves. Mm-hmm. It's really not about you. I just say, do you? I do. Like when we were at lunch yesterday, and I was talking to Shayla about that picture, that collar.
Yes.
Like if you're gonna do you, you
do
gotta be tight,
way. Right?
Yeah, you gotta look good the whole, you know, head to toe. You gotta look good. But if it means, you know, your feet hurt, and you don't want to wear 5-inch heels, mm-hmm. don't do it.
Right.
You know, I gave that up a long time ago. I'm like, I'm walking around here with my colleagues. You know, they outpacing me walking fast in them damn flats. You know, and I'm just trying to keep up in these high heel shoes that, you know.
They ain't going to work.
Yeah, listen. these high heel shoes aren't writing the articles. They're not writing the books.
It.
And so, you know, I'm just, look, I wear jeans. Just look good. Whatever
question
you
for you, because you mm-hmm. said, you mentioned something interesting right there. You said you didn't always feel that mm-hmm. way. Tell me about that a little bit. Tell us about that.
Oh, you know, I think some of the socialization in graduate school and just throughout college was more about wearing a suit
mm-hmm.
and wearing heels and always wearing pantyhose mm-hmm. and all of those things. And I'm like, I'm not comfortable in that. You know how you're not comfortable with something, but you haven't reconciled mm-hmm. what's wrong with it,
right.
you know?
Right.
And I just kind of grew into this space where I didn't care. Like mm-hmm. it wasn't enough to lose me in the process.
Right.
Like I'm going to be comfortable. I'm going to be cute, you know,
right.
and I feel better presenting mm-hmm. and talking with people when I feel comfortable.
Right.
And so I had to start making the process about me
right.
and not making other people feel comfortable, which right. I think many women of color, you know, are taught to reduce ourselves
yes.
so that other people can feel good yes. around us. And
absolutely.
I just, yeah.
Especially women of color.
Yeah. Right.
Especially, I used to have this one lady, I worked in a law firm, and she used to come and tell me if something was low cut. I don't wear no low. First of all, I don't even have good cleavage. So I know I wasn't wearing low uh-huh. cut tops, but if she saw a hint of anything, it was always something. And I feel like a lot of times, and we've kind of touched on this a yeah. little bit, that we kind of put that pressure on ourselves mm-hmm. and each other mm-hmm. as people of color. And half the time, white people don't be paying attention to that kind of stuff, because they'll go out looking all kinds of ways.
Any kind of
listen,
way. They show up
listen,
any kind
I
of way.
I have been in so many departments where
sir, what's that on your
white
jeans?
Men oh. got t-shirts.
Exactly.
Wearing
listen,
any kind of old
listen.
Thing. And I'm like, dang. Now, mm-hmm. if I did that, I'd be
exactly.
called raggedy and
exactly.
all of that. But at this point, I'm like, I can do that,
mm-hmm.
but I'm going to do it the way I want to do it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's just now I can make sense of it and talk about it. And before, it was like, dang, you know,
yeah.
there's something not right here. How do I make sense of this? And now I can, you know, actually articulate it.
You absolutely. Really nailed it when you said, you know, the things that we do or don't do to make other people comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I think for me, one of the things that clicked for me is when I realized that I have to be comfortable with the space that I take up first,
yes.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's just is what it is, and I don't have to apologize for it.
Mm-hmm.
And
I don't have to explain it. Mm. And people's opinions don't necessarily have to change it. Mm. People be like, oh, your nails are long. Like, that is correct.
Mm-hmm. You're right. Yes. Or you don't have no nails.
Right. 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 Right.
And the thing, you know, the part about our own people, you know, this whole idea of respectability politics, mm-hmm. and who you need to be. Yeah. Like, I love Cardi B and I love Tiffany Haddish. Yes. I love that they're loud. Yes. I love that they mm-hmm. just do them, you know, mm-hmm. they do themselves, and it makes other people, sometimes Black people feel uncomfortable,
right.
because, you know, again, a lot of people feel like we need to cater to this white dominant way of being. And I love that they don't.
But the thing about it is, it's not even a white dominant, because it's, like we said, white people just do what they want. So it's like, why can't we?
That's, and I the think, privilege, because they operate know. In yeah, the privilege.
But they got the credibility
exactly.
and they get the benefit of the doubt anyway.
They do.
And, they do. You know, Black people often feel like we got to be a certain way to just get the benefit of
the
doubt.
To prove. Yeah. The proving.
No, yeah. You're absolutely. I went to Chelsea Market one day, dressed how I dress. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It was a dress down day. Mm-hmm. And I know I got followed around multiple. Somebody came and offered me their chips. Like, they were like, I have these extra chips. I'm not going to eat them, but I just don't want to throw them away. Would you? I was like, come on, fam. I just bought myself some tacos. Like, get out of here. I'm not homeless. You know what I'm saying? But we get called homeless and homely yeah. and raggedy, mm-hmm. like you said, mm-hmm. and all kinds of shit. But they can do what they want. We need to start doing what we want.
Yes.
We
need
to. And that's why I'm so excited about envisioning the Woke Academy, because
yes.
I feel like it's our chance
I'm
to do what we want.
I'm excited about it, too. Ooh.
I feel like it's our chance to do what we want. And I really love the engagement piece.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, we sit from the ivory tower and we talk about the problems of the world amongst ourselves, but we don't, you
we
know,
don't reach out to
the people who we could actually help.
Interview them, get all the knowledge, and then leave them. So.
And allow them to tell their stories.
Right.
Because their stories are often centered in ways that are not fair to them.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited. Can you tell the people about, we're envisioning the Woke Academy is going to be happening at the ASH Conference in November in Tampa, Florida.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So can we talk a bit about what that's going to be like? Like,
oh, some of the things I have planned or about the theme? Oh.
Well, either or. The theme, ooh. We can talk about what's on deck.
Everything.
All the things we want to know.
I can't mention keynote speakers because I don't have any.
We're working on
that. Kimberly Crenshaw.
Yes,
you
indeed.
This. I'm trying to work on some speakers and really get people who are beyond higher ed. So mm-hmm. I think, again, when we talk about higher ed research, it is all higher ed. Like, everybody cites the same people.
Right.
And I come from a space where citing someone is like real estate,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so the same people get cited over and over again and their work grows. People of color, not so much.
Right.
And a lot of the stuff that I use is from other fields and sociology, mm-hmm. Black studies. And so there are people in these fields who do higher ed work, but they don't see ASH as a space.
Right.
And so I'm trying to broaden what we mean when we talk about higher ed research and who can do higher ed research. But there are a couple of things I'm trying to do. I don't know that they will happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I am trying to partner with the African-American Policy Forum to do a town hall looking at incarcerated and formerly incarcerated women and girls of color.
Yes.
And their college pathways. I don't know if that will happen.
Yeah.
I have a meeting today. I'm going to pray.
We're going to pray with you.
Yeah.
Also, given that we're in Florida and there are so many HBCUs, I'm trying to do something with local high schools, mm-hmm. A film viewing of Tell Them We Are Rising.
Yes.
And they have some of our members engage in roundtable discussions mm-hmm. with students and their families about, you know, these different aspects of college, whether it's the admissions process mm-hmm. or financial aid. I am trying to do something related to refugee and undocumented
mm-hmm.
Students in higher ed. Again, that's an area I don't feel like we can be in Tampa and not do that.
Yeah, totally.
So figuring out, you know, how to make that unfold is in the works. What else am I doing? I mean, we talked about so many things. Look, I tried to do a presidential podcast, but Kat told me no. She was like, no, we're going to get you on other people's podcasts.
Yes.
Oh, yes. So the other big thing about the conference is that we're commemorating 1968. So I am hoping to hear back from these folks about a grant. I want to do an exhibit that looks at higher education in 1968 and student protests and activism. Yes. And it's supposed to be reflective so we can think, okay, you know, it's 2018, mm-hmm. 50 years later, and we're still seeing, you know, some of the same things. And how might our contributions as researchers and scholars help to shift
right.
Higher education?
Girl, you're busy.
Yeah. Yes. We love it. I love it.
Have you seen the HBO? So it just came out. It's an HBO and Vice documentary called Raised in the System.
With Omar.
With Michael K. Yeah. Williams.
You Omar.
You better reference The
Wire. Look, I love The Wire. Oh, we I could watch it over and over again.
We went to the screening for it the other day, and he was there, and he spoke, and I encourage you, especially... I'm praying for your meeting today because I think that is beautiful. I think you would really, really love that documentary. It's coming out every Friday.
Oh, wow.
And
okay.
And it's talking about the youth to prison pipeline and wow. how that starts so young. And it starts from people mm-hmm. with their parents and how they're trapping a lot of these young Black and Latinos in the system so early
yes.
that they don't even have an opportunity to figure out how to work their way out. So... Okay. Yeah, check that out.
I just read Monique Morris's Push Out.
Yep.
And oof.
Yeah.
That one was a hard one.
Yeah.
That one was a hard one. And I think with this conversation around incarceration and the system, it's so important, but it's also unintentionally male dominated.
Yes. Right.
And we forget about our girls.
Yes.
And so I'm really, really committed to sort of illuminating
yes.
That piece.
Yeah.
You've done a lot of work on Black women.
I love Black women.
Me too.
Me too.
We want to hear it. Let the people know more about your research on Black women. I know the book is coming.
Well, it's out.
It's out.
So the most recent book is Critical Perspectives on Black Women in Higher Ed. And again, there's been this burgeoning body of research on Black men and boys.
Oh,
and
yes.
The My Brother's Keeper Initiative, mm-hmm. which was wonderful.
Absolutely.
You know, not without critique, but it was wonderful.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it shed light on so many issues. And all while that conversation was going on, I'm like, well, what about Black
us?
Girls?
What about
you know,
us?
What about right. Black girls? And so since I'm in higher ed, I have seen all of these programs focusing on, you know, getting Black men to graduate.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the way the I don't know if you all remember this headline that Black women are the most educated
yes.
women.
That lie.
And it's a lie.
That lie.
It is a lie.
Right.
And some Black women sort of took it up as, you know, mm-hmm. yay, mm-hmm. but this one right here,
yeah.
I'm like, well, no, not so much.
Yeah.
And so the book, the Critical Perspectives book, was really a chance for me to bring together some Black women scholars
mm-hmm.
to kind of talk about some of these issues in higher ed. Where do Black women find support? What do they do upon graduation? What does it mean to not just be Black, but to be Afro-Caribbean?
Or, right.
You know, like just trying to look at these multifaceted ways of understanding Black women's experiences in college.
Absolutely.
That mm-hmm. book is out. The book I'm working on right now with Venus Evans Winters and Charlotte Jacobs
nice.
Is on Black women and girls across the educational pipeline. And we got some heavy hitters
yes.
writing, but it will deal with, you know, disabilities, the justice system,
yes.
The way for-profit institutions prey on Black women. Black women in community colleges. And so it's intended to look across the educational pipeline at Black women
yeah.
And girls.
I love Dr. Evans. I met her at a... At
she
the,
did.
Oh, she's everything.
She did.
I met her at the CREA conference, a Critically Responsive Evaluation Assessment Conference
mm-hmm.
in Chicago in October. And we were in a session together and we just kind of connected because even in the course of the conversation about like what is culturally relevant evaluation...
Mm-hmm.
The narrative of the Black male was kind of like the center, and we mm. and she and I were just kind of like, well, excuse me,
right?
we do also need to address, you know, certain things, these things as they relate to the experiences of Black women and the multidimensional, you know, experiences of Black women. Like we're all not one
right.
size fits all. So
and that shows just how forgettable
exactly.
Black women and girls can be in conversations, and
absolutely.
It's not even intended. But
right.
I mean, you just forget
while we're sitting in the room,
mm-hmm.
like while
mm-hmm.
we're right there.
Mm-hmm.
So it totally happens. I'm excited.
Let's shift it because we talked about your work. I mean, girl, I thought I was busy. You
mm-hmm.
are on a whole different planet. Like, seriously, you on Pluto. It ain't even a planet no more.
Right.
What? How do you balance all of that? Like, you mentioned Parker and
Preston.
Preston. Mm-hmm. Beautiful names. How do you balance all that?
I don't feel like I balance. Mm-hmm. I negotiate my time.
Ooh, yes. Say a word.
I negotiate.
Yes.
So I'm really lucky to have a partner who gets it,
mm-hmm.
who is willing to let me shine. Like, he knew what I did when we got together, and he's the one. He put together the website. He's the one, oh, you doing the thing today? I need to update the website.
Yes. You know?
And so he is incredibly supportive of me and the work that I do. If it wasn't for him and, of course, my faith and family, like, I couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be able to be here, mm-hmm. if he, you know, wasn't, you know, pushing me, saying, you know, do this. You know, he knows I want to do film. He and bought me the books to read through, because mm-hmm. I don't have time to go to school. He's like, you know, just read this, you can do it. And so he is the biggest advocate, who listens to my ideas, tells me when something is whack.
Mm-hmm.
He's amazing.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah.
That sounds familiar. I got one of those.
Yes. And if you don't have one of those, I can't imagine, you know, what some women go through who are, you know, married and they don't have that sort of support. And then the other thing is collaboration. So mm-hmm. in higher ed and just in the academy, this belief that you need to be individual, solo author, first author, mm-hmm. It doesn't breed a climate of collaboration. But I don't know any other way to do something unless it's, you know, within community.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, every time there's an opportunity, if I can't do it, I'm like, I can't do it, but can you talk to these four or five people, mm-hmm. who all Black women, you know, about, you know, right. An opportunity, or if there are, you know, ways to collaborate. You know, Kat has been like, mm-hmm. Team Lori.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just through really other Black women lifting me up.
You hear that, Onika? Do you hear that, Onika?
Me?
You hear that?
This message is for you, Nicki Minaj. Okay.
Yeah. So it's just lifting up. And I can't imagine doing it without, you know, Black women supporting me.
Because the problems that we're trying to solve are huge problems.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's Black women got that potion. And I don't think it's, so I know a lot of people love Black girl magic. I love it too, but mm-hmm. I just don't want people to forget the labor.
Yeah. Say
it's
that.
Magic, but it's work.
It is a whole lot of work.
So
and we tired.
Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna go to sleep in that cab.
Listen,
when we go back to the hotel.
Listen.
But it's just work. But it's work that I love. As long as it's, you know, uplifting Black people, Black women. And then I, you know, I got a bomb ass mother.
Yeah.
You know, who just keeps it real.
Me too.
Yes.
Keeps it real. Oh my God. And two sisters.
Yes.
Who, you know, helped raise me. My father isn't with us anymore, but I mean, I just have always been around community. So I never feel like anything I do is honestly about me.
Mm.
It's really, you know, about community and, you know, building something.
Absolutely. I have one last question for you. I don't know if Kia has any more.
Go for it.
Where you get them glasses?
Let me tell you. This thing, so you know, self-care is a really big word now, right?
Yeah.
And you know, I used to go and get my glasses. You know, I would do Lens Crafters, mm-hmm. you know. And I'm like, you know, I'm gonna invest.
Yes, because you wear them on your face.
Yeah, I'm gonna pay
absolutely
this extreme amount of money for these glasses.
Amen.
Because I want to.
Amen.
You know,
amen.
I'm not going to worry about, you know, mm-mm. these other things. And so that's sort of another thing that I've grown into, that I can care for other people and care for me too. Like,
time.
If I don't care for me at the center of it all, then I, you know, I'm worthless to everybody else.
You
and
damn
so
right.
I'm just trying to.
You see how she ain't tell me where she got them glasses.
Oh, let me tell you.
That's how we do, girl.
These are Burberry's, but I'll
yes, Burberry.
Burberry, y'all need to start supporting Black women and girls.
That's
but,
right.
I also got some Balenciagas. Those, ooh, I'm gonna hit you with
Balenci.
Those at Ash.
Okay.
Hey,
I share.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm at Ash, but my glasses ain't.
All right.
I do have one more question.
Okay. Yes.
I want to know what Lori Patton Davis does for fun.
Oh.
I want to know how she turns up. I want to know if there's a turn up.
Yeah,
because
I see the rat. It has poked
just
the
little head. Bit of rat on the inside. You got to let her out sometime.
It's in there. I do a lot. So I really love, tonight is going to be a struggle because there's this party tonight, but it's also the finale of Walking Dead and, you know, the beginning of Fear the Walking Dead. So I watch that every time in my life. I love that.
TV.
I do love TV.
I love
but,
TV.
But I love travel. When I have an opportunity to travel, I take it. I love roller coasters.
Me too. Ooh,
me too.
So
we going to Cedar Points.
Yes, I love roller coasters.
Hell yeah! It's gonna be me and the doctors.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we have to bring Dustin because Dustin loves roller coasters.
Jay, Dustin, and the doctors.
Oh, it'll be fun.
We're gonna make it a special.
And I love music. Yes. The song that I have been listening to repeatedly over and over again is "Prepared" by Jill Scott.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I just wanna be.
Yes. Hey, yes. Hey, sing, baby. Hey.
I love me some Jill Scott.
Oh my gosh.
But you know, anytime
when she's singing.
Yes. Sometimes when she speaks.
Most of the time.
But we don't have to talk about that.
I know.
We don't have to talk about that.
I love when she sings too.
She gotta sing. I love Laura Hill when she be showing up on time.
When she shows up, right? When she shows up.
Well.
But yeah, music just, I don't know, transports me to another space. And I can listen to it at home and dance by myself.
Yep. Or
tonight, like tonight, I'm going to dance at this party.
The Black and Brown.
Yes.
Oh, you going too?
I'm going to be there.
I'm going to sneak in.
Come on. I'm going to have their cameras out. That's the Hash President dancing. Yeah.
It sure is. And she's on beat. Please take note.
Right.
I'm coming.
Please take note.
Hi, I'm Dr.
You don't have to be chef. You can come with me. It's
Dr. Chef.
Well, Lori, we are so, so grateful. We hope that you have enjoyed your time with us because we have had so much fun.
Yes. Thanks for having me.
Oh, my gosh.
Y'all are great. Keep doing this.
Yes.
Keep doing this.
Thank you.
You haven't heard the rest of the show.
Well, we have fun. Yeah? It's our self-care.
We do. We have a good time.
Now, y'all edit me so I sound good to the people.
Oh, girl, you sound amazing.
Ty, okay. Work
hopefully,
your magic.
Hopefully, this is not the last of our collaborations and we'll be able to work together in the future.
Well, I'm going to try to get y'all, I'm going to try to have Podcast Central at Ash.
We're trying to be there.
Know, yes, be
Let's
there.
Let's be
I would
there.
Love it. I would love
we
it.
Want to, we would
I
love to.
I want to bust up in the place and ruin everything that everybody's learned.
Oh, my gosh. So, Florida, stand up. Florida, if y'all want to see us at Ash, if y'all want to come to Tampa and hang out with us, let us know. We will definitely come.
Yes.
But yes, we appreciate you so much. We appreciate
Thank
you so
you.
Much.
Thank you for taking
Thank
your
you
time.
For having.
Thank you so much.
We love you, Lori.
We're going to put all the links in the description box of where you can find Lori.
Yes.
And you have any closing words?
No. I just love Lori.
Yes.
Oh.
Me too now. Me too now. I'm about to come in my jeans and shake my ass with you tonight.
Yes, Let's do it.
All right, bet.
All right. Thank you, Lori.
Thank you.
This week's podcast is brought to you by Everlywell. Who has the time to get lab work done? Figuring out the cost, what the results mean, even where to get them done is its own battle. But now it's easy to order the tests you want at everlywell.com. Everlywell is an at-home health testing company that offers a variety of tests, from food sensitivity, which measures your sensitivity to 96 different foods that may be causing you discomfort, to metabolism, to an at-home STD test. Yes, you can test for STDs all from the comfort and privacy of your home. Each test is physician-reviewed, private, simple, and processed through a certified lab.
All you need to do is head over to everlywell.com, choose your test, and they'll be shipped directly to your doorstep. Once you collect your sample and send it back to Everlywell Certified Lab Partner, you'll get your doctor-reviewed, easy-to-read results online in days. No more sitting in wait rooms, no more mystery bill, and no more waiting on your results. Head to everlywell.com and use promo code GROWN to take 15% off your first order. That's EVERLYWELL.com, promo code GROWN for 15% off your first order. Take control of your health today with Everlywell's at-home health tests. Your tests on your time and on your terms with Everlywell.
Honestly?
Truly.
It is time for the honesty box.
Let's do it.
Hi, Jade and Kia.
Hey.
Hi, Kia and Jade.
Oh, well, hello.
Yes, hello.
I have to make sure I read everything properly.
Okay.
Please give me an anonymous name. Okay. I've been a longtime listener since day one and fan since before that. You guys always give such sound advice that resonates with me, and boy, do I need some sound advice right about now.
Oh, Lord.
I am a 23-year-old Christian African woman in a relationship with a man from a Muslim Middle Eastern background.
Okay.
We've been together for 4 years and are very happy together. My parents found out about us sometime last year, and the roof hit the fan. My parents are strong African Christians and were not okay with finding out that their daughter was with someone who was not of God. To keep the peace in the family, I told them that we'd broken up, although we are still very much together. We tried separating for a bit, but that didn't work out because it was something neither of us wanted. My parents were worried that I would be brainwashed and will convert to Islam, something I have zero intentions of doing. And after my whole life being raised in the church, I've learned to judge and relate with people based on the goodness of their hearts rather than the label they use to identify themselves. Amen. My partner has an incredible soul that has helped me through some of the toughest times in my life. His support has grown even stronger in recent times with these parental issues coming up. I no longer think of him as a boyfriend. I think of him as a partner, as that is a role he has grown to fill over time. We never argue about religion, as he isn't overly religious himself and supports me and my faith. I was never very close to my parents, but I love them. We just have different values. They dismissed my partner before they ever met him simply because of his difference in faith. That is a value that I will never expose and wouldn't want to pass on to my future children. The problem is I'm starting to feel a bit of guilt lying to my parents about it now. I also feel bad hiding a partner who is amazing and truly deserves better than he has received so far in terms of judgment from my family. To top it off, I have to move back home for a bit of financial reasons, and my parents who live in Africa will be visiting often. I'll be living with my siblings, some of whom are unaware that he and I are back together. We will be longish distance, 2 hours away, and I have to hide my relationship from others the entire time. What should I do? Should I tell them about him and possibly risk losing my parents, or wait until I am independent and in a really good place financially to reveal the truth and damn the consequences? Kia, I'd like to get your opinion on this, as I know that you take your faith and walk with God very seriously. What advice would you give a friend who was in my predicament? Please help. P.S. You have a P.S. We, of course, aren't silly. We recognize that a life together will have its problems. We have discussed the major issues we'll face and agree on a lot of the difficult decisions to be made. At this point, I just want a chance to be happy with the person that I love. I would appreciate any advice I can get. Okay.
Well, Lord.
So, what are we going to call her?
Let's call her Shaka.
I was going to call her Yoked.
Yoked?
Yeah, for
equally yoked.
Unevenly yoked.
That's so stupid. I don't want to call a person yoked.
I know.
I don't know why I said Shaka. I was thinking of Shaka Khan. But
we can call her Shaka.
We can call her Shakia.
Shakia. You go ahead. This was for you, boo.
Nah, man. I need time to think. Okay. Damn. All right. So Shakia is 23?
Yes. She's been with this man for 4 years.
And she says she's about to move back in with her parents or move in with a sibling?
Yeah, with a sibling.
So I feel like if it were me, I'm nervous because I'm saying, I think I don't want to tell her to do something that would get her, that would compromise her living situation.
Obviously, yes.
I don't, I mean.
You would be responsible.
I want you to be responsible and to think about that first and foremost.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I also feel like you have to make decisions for yourself and learn how to take full responsibility for those choices, right? I do not feel like this is something you should lie about.
Yeah.
Because I think that that's going to... I don't think that's going to help. Like, if your parents are upset already that you are in a relationship with someone who's not of the same faith of yours, they're, you know, if they find out that you've been lying, like, it's going to make the situation worse. A lot worse. If this is something or someone that you could see yourself being with long term, then I do think that there is value in sitting down with your family and just being very honest and letting them know that. But you have to be willing and ready to deal with however, you know, whatever the outcome of that conversation is.
But you said, damn the consequences.
Right. I don't think that, I do feel like at 23 years old, it's really early in your life to be I'm trying to think of the words.
What, in a serious relationship?
To be...
You have time.
You have time. Is
what you have yeah, time. Yeah, yeah. And that's not taken away from...
The love that you share with this person.
Not at all. We're not minimizing
not it. Not at all.
You do have time.
You got lots of time to progress to a point in a relationship where... Because, I mean...
You're kind of in a cool place right now. And I say that because... You're not getting ready to get married tomorrow.
I hope.
But, I hope. God, Jesus. But at the same time, you are an adult. And I'm hoping that what you can do in this situation is kind of navigate as an adult. Which means, if you're living with a sibling, I don't see why you have to disclose all of your comings and goings and all of what you're doing. That's not encouraging you to lie, because I don't want you to lie.
Right.
Because that, like Kia said, that's going to exacerbate the situation. That's going to make it way, 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 way right. worse. Right, and right. you're too old to be lying, if we're just going to be perfectly honest.
Agreed.
Me personally, because I kind of dealt with the situation with my family.
Mm-hmm.
When I originally got pregnant, I wasn't married.
Mm-hmm.
And... needless to say, my mother was very unhappy about that. She was very unhappy about that. And she had expressed some things where I might have thought maybe I would never speak to my mother again.
Mm.
But we have since worked past that. And my mother is the most amazing grandmother on the entire planet.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of what she has expressed out of anger or disappointment or just a disagreement. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't agree with everything that she... I don't agree with that, but I have to respect how she feels. Those are her feelings. But it's still my mom.
Mm-hmm.
And I know when it comes down to it, she's not going to leave me.
Right.
And I feel like... And same for my father, just my parents in general. And I feel like with you... your parents are not going to be happy with your decision because they feel the way that they feel, and you're not going to be able to change that.
Right.
I don't know if you need to take such a stand right this second.
Yeah, because I feel like it's not, you have to pick your battles and know like yeah. when a conversation is no longer a productive conversation.
Right.
So it's not like you're going to your parents and asking them permission to date who you want to date.
Right.
You're just saying, this is what it is, and I do not have to qualify it to you.
Absolutely.
Now, there are, if you're living with them or living with your sibling, they do have the right to say, I don't want him over here. I mm-hmm. don't want to do this. But they cannot say that you cannot date him because, right. like, what is that? I mean, so, yeah, I think that this is definitely something that you're going to have to think through for yourself. I hope that the advice that we're sharing is useful to you. I mean, for me, it's hard for me to speak to whether or not I would do it or how I would handle it.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I mean, I think I am, you know, I am a Christian, and, you know, my faith is a very big part of who I am and how I function. And it does impact who I date and who I don't date. But I don't know if it would have, you know, I don't want to say I don't know if it would have, but the way that I date now is not the way that I dated when I was 23.
Oh, not at all.
So, that's what I'm saying. I feel like you have time to kind of work through this. And that's what I'm saying. If this is someone who you see yourself going, like being with long term, like if you're thinking towards like marriage and those kinds of things, then you will have to sit down and have a serious conversation with your partner mm-hmm. and negotiate what that's going to look like, what that's going to mean, not only for right now, but for the future. And, you know, it is something that you're going to have to be prayerful about and ask for direction on how, like, what decisions you need to make and what will be best for you and your family going forward. But like we've said before, when you get to a certain age, you stop asking for permission to do stuff. You just tell people what it is.
It is, including your family.
Exactly. Most especially your family.
And 9 times out of 10, because I'm not going to say it happens every time, but 9 times out of 10, it's your family. They love you. Y'all may not speak for a little bit. You know, you may have some problems, but ultimately, I don't think your family's going to leave you. I don't think your family's going to abandon you for the rest of your life.
Right.
You know, they will express their disappointment. They have expressed their disappointment, but I don't see how they will disown you. And I hope that's not, an outcome. You know what I'm saying? I really, really hope it's not. But that's not the actions of a loving parent. So, you know, I wish you the best in working this situation out. It's not an easy one. You're more than welcome to write us.
Yeah, I'm praying for you, sis.
Yeah, we got you. But, yeah, that's not an easy decision. That's something that you're going to have to really, really think through.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Word.
Thank you for writing in. Continue to send your honesty box questions, petty peeves, kitchen talk table suggestions, and everything else in between to gettinggrownpodcast@gmail.com. And we will move right on along to the peeves de petty.
True that.
And I want to be very responsible of the things I say to my sister. Because everybody know I can be real petty. P-E to the T-T-Y, honey.
It's time to be petty. It's my favorite time of day.
I have a beef. I have a beef with the weather. I would like to say that I am tired. I'm tired of coats and jackets and scarves and hats and gloves. I'm tired of socks and shoes. I'm tired. And I feel like in April, we should be free from these things. But here we are, yet bundled up. So, I don't know. My beef is with the Lord, I guess. I don't know. I'm just saying that spring is not filling us, evidently.
No,
I wish that
she would, you know, get over herself and do her job. I mean, we all got to go to work.
Come out the room.
You know what I'm saying, sis? Like, you just locked in your room like you just not going to do what you supposed to do. Like, hello, sis, you don't get these privileges. This is not how this works. No. If I got to go to work, then you got to come to work too, sis.
You got to spring.
Spring.
You got to come out.
I mean,
over it.
Truly.
I really am. This has literally been 12 years of winter.
Bruh.
And I'm over it. I'm tired. It's dreary. It's taking a toll on niggas' moods.
Listen, we all just out here angsty and irritable. And cold.
Yeah. Cussing each other out.
I'm sick of it.
I don't want to wear. I have on a coat right now.
Bruh.
Like a coat.
And I didn't bring because I don't know, for whatever reason, maybe because it was warm as Jack's on Friday. I was thinking, oh, it's going to be nice. So when I packed, I didn't pack appropriately. So I got on this little leather jacket.
I know that's not enough.
Insufficient. I'm telling you.
I
totally
know that's
insufficient.
Not enough.
So I'm out here and just hoping that I won't get the pneumonias because, you know, spring wants to sleep in. You know what I'm saying? She don't want to come to work.
She's about to get fired.
Listen, I don't got time for her.
And I'm not hiring Winter in her place, so she better figure it out.
I will say, though.
You got kids to feed.
Listen.
Yeah.
Let me just say this.
Say it,
and I'm going to let you get to your petty peeve.
I'm still
that the seasons came to work on time when Obama was president.
Talk about it.
That's all I got to say.
This ain't nothing but Satan.
The Lord, the seasons are upset.
I blame Satan and Onika. Okay.
Oh, Lord.
My petty peeve. So I went out to eat before I left D.C.
Where'd you go?
Farmers and Distillery.
Distillers. Which one?
The one in Washington, D.C.
Oh, there's several in Washington.
Isn't there only one Farmers and Distillers and the rest are like...
Farmers, Fishers, in Vegas.
Yeah, and a whole string of other restaurants.
You went? Yeah.
But I went to the Farmers and Distillers.
I think I know.
On Massachusetts.
Okay.
Yes. So they had a buffet brunch.
Oh, yes. And it's delicious.
It was tasty.
My Lord.
They got sriracha.
They got the thick cut bacon.
They have the thick bacon.
God is in it.
Mad meat.
My God.
They had a breakfast fried rice, and they had homemade donuts. Like, I was very pleased.
I just be at the Bacon Man with my plate, like...
Oh, no. I just got it myself.
Please,
sir. I was very happy with all of my selections. Had to add a touch of salt and pepper, but that's fine.
Listen.
You got to make sure that you cater to all types of people. But my petty peeve this week is for the lady who worked behind the counter near the donuts. The staff was like all black except for like this manager who was just fine and then her. Okay? Oh, no. And Latino. It was people of color. It was a mostly people of color staff, which I really appreciated. And I go and I'm getting my donuts and shit. They have creme brulee donuts. They have all kinds of stuff. So I'm, you know, stuffing my face and being ridiculous. And I see this thing that has ice cream.
Yeah.
And a scoop in some water and two labels that told you what kind of ice cream it was.
Right.
This is a buffet brunch.
Yes.
So, and I'm getting all kinds of items.
Yes.
I'm by the dessert bar.
Right.
Of course I think y'all got ice cream to go with these donuts. Because I'm fat.
Okay.
So, I'm about to eat this.
Okay.
She gonna tell me, excuse me, that's not a part of the brunch.
The donuts?
No, the ice cream.
Why it's over here then?
But it's like the way she, excuse me, that's not a part of the brunch. I'm like, well, listen, bitch, it's two labels right here that told me what kind of ice cream it was. It's a scoop inside some water.
Well, what is it a part
of? A metal thing that lifts up and is right by the donuts. So don't talk to me like I'm doing something absurd, like I'm a child behind the counter at a restaurant, or like I'm somewhere that I don't have no business being. Bitch, it's a buffet.
But what is it over here for if it's not?
If it's for y'all.
Why is it out with the buffet thing?
Put it behind the counter then. Don't put it with a sign that identifies what kind of ice cream it was and then talk to me like I'm stupid. And that has been the petty peeves. That has been the thread in the theme this weekend for me. White women have been talking to me reckless. Lord, it was yesterday, really. Yesterday's theme was white women are going to talk to me reckless. I had talked to an insurance adjuster on the phone.
Okay.
She asked me a question. She was talking to Tristan, but she asked me a question since I was involved. And then she asked another dumbass question. And I was like, well, excuse me, what? Excuse me. I'm not talking to you now. I need to talk to Mr.
What? There's a boldness that's going on.
I said, have you ever been slapped through a phone?
I don't get it.
I was like, have you ever had a hand reach out of your phone and smack the fire out of you? Because it's about to happen. I said, you are passive aggressive and condescending. I said, and just because you have smiles in your tone doesn't mean you get to talk. I was like, you have lost your damn mind. I was like, fix your fucking tone before you continue with this conversation. I don't give a fuck who you're talking to. I don't care. Don't you ever fix your lips to ever speak to me like that again. I don't care if we are behind glass. I don't care if we on the phone or we face to face. I don't care what it is. Don't ever talk to me like that again. You've lost it. Woo, triggered again. I'm triggered.
Clearly.
Because white women been talking to me crazy all weekend, and I really don't have, like, I have negative time for that.
Oh, listen, like the white man who called me sis.
Excuse me?
The white man called me sis. We went to, after the show on Friday, we went to get food, and I was parking my car.
Yeah.
And my windows were down because it was really nice outside.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Toy was in the passenger seat.
She was.
As I'm parking, the car that was coming up the street in the opposite direction, it was like, there was lights. The man looked at me was like, damn, sis, them earrings is big. Those earrings are really big. And I had an out-of-body experience because I'm just like, hey, so wait a minute.
And then she told me.
And I was like, first of all, I am not now, nor will I ever be your sis.
Ever.
Sir.
Ever.
What?
And he proceeded to roll his window all the way down and stare.
He was like,
because they were in traffic.
They look good on you, though. I was like, sir, first of all, don't sis me.
Don't ever sis me.
Don't you sis me. I don't know you. You don't even meet the criteria to ever be my brother.
Like,
what?
My brother will never have a fuchsia penis when he gets excited. So don't you ever fix your Caucasian ass lips to say no wild shit to me about no motherfucking sis.
He was like, I said, if you ever in your white life, if you ever in your white life, you need to think twice before you sis a black woman.
Thrice.
What is wrong with you? And he was just like, they look nice. I was like, proceed. Then drive off.
And then he was in traffic, so he was staring.
Awkward.
He was staring awkwardly at our entire group after
because
that.
Because we all look like, say a sis one more time.
One more time. We were standing on the curb. I looked that nigga right in his eyes. I was like, you said what to her? And he kept looking at me, and I kept looking at him until his car was out of sight.
You know how, like, you're so stunned when somebody says something so crazy to you, you can't even, like, get a response fast enough? Toya.
Toya was like,
he said, your earrings, them earrings are big, sis. Toya was like, your face is big. Your face is big. We was like totally disgusted. How would you ever? Don't you ever speak to me? Who are you?
Who are you?
Why are you even talking to me? Disgusted.
In your Chevy Blazer. They don't even make those anymore.
Like, anyway. He was coming back from the Washington. I'm assuming because we were by the National
Oh, the Make
State.
America Great Again baseball game?
Lord have mercy. But
I've never seen so many red hats in my life.
I was triggered. I mean, the Nationals hat is a red hat, but it looks awful when you're, I don't know.
Any red hat with a dad hat is a hat to me.
Oh, my God.
That I don't want no parts of. And we went into the Banchan Chicken, and it was mad red shirts and red hats. And I was like, we've got to go.
We can't stay here, guys. I don't feel
safe.
We
can't be here. I don't feel comfortable.
Okay. But yeah, that's this episode, man.
That's this episode of Getting Grown. Thank you guys once again so much for being so supportive of Kia and I,
man,
as we have stumbled and toddlered our way through this first year of this
Literally
podcast.
Busting our heads inside of this podcast every week. Like, I guess what? I don't get it.
Before we close out, I know that we have not mentioned as frequently as we did for the first book, but we are reading An American Marriage.
Yes, by Tyari Jones.
By Tyari Jones for the Getting Grown Book Club for the month of April.
Yes, indeed.
So discussions will begin in May. Once again, that is An American Marriage by who, sis?
Tyari Jones.
That's right. So we will make sure to put the link in the description box on where you can purchase. But you guys get your discussions ready for May.
It's a good book.
Yeah, yeah.
My wig is still shifted to the left.
I'm really hyped to get into it. And again, remember that the discussions surrounding the book clubs are, we try to apply them to life.
Yeah, so even if you haven't read the book or finished reading the book, you shouldn't feel like you can't listen.
Yes.
But yeah, we'll chat. It's going to be a good time.
In the meantime.
And in between time.
Drink your water.
Mind your business and moisturize because
your black will crack if it's dry.
Bye.
Later. Thanks again to Everly Well for supporting this week's show. Finding the time to get a lab test is almost impossible, but now it's easy to order the test you want at everlywell.com.
Everly Well is an at-home health testing company that offers a variety of physician-reviewed private tests from food sensitivity to metabolism to thyroid. No more sitting in waiting rooms or waiting on your results. Head to everlywell.com and use promo code GROWN to take 15% off your first order. Everly Well, your test on your time and on your terms.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 bacon bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the bacon cheese slider, 1921 bacon cheese slider, or chicken bacon ranch slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 bacon bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.